Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is, what does belonging to Jesus mean? I saw a message earlier in the week and decided that I would do one similar to that and give you the scriptures that I found, and hopefully they'll touch your hearts and lead you in the right direction so that you know what it means to belong to Jesus. But as always, folks, before we get started, I have a song that I want to do for you, and I have some prayers right after that. So we'll do the song first. It's called You Are My All in All, Maranatha Music. I kind of like the song, so here it goes, folks. It might take maybe about 2 minutes, but I'll cut it off at that point. Thank you. Cut it off there, folks, because I want to get into the message. We have quite a lot of scripture this morning, folks. We're going to start out with Romans 8, and we're going to go from there. And then I've got some stuff I want to talk to you about, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians and quite a few chapters and verses there, chapter 3, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 15, and Galatians 3 and Galatians 5. So if you can find your place to Romans 8 right now, and then put your finger on 1 Corinthians, and then Galatians, and we'll be able to go from there, folks. But this morning's prayers, folks, and some praises as well. Let's praise the rescue workers for saving the people over in Thailand, those soccer players. They've got four of them out so far, I saw on Facebook this morning. Hopefully the rest of them, God willing, will get out safely and there won't be any more issues. We lost one Navy SEAL diver. So hopefully there won't be any more deaths, that God will be able to provide for all of it, for the safety of all of those that are involved, and for getting the children out of that cave. We have another praise for Melinda Meeker. She was given a gospel tract on the 4th of July, and the next day she read the tract. She confessed Jesus as her Savior. And from what I understand, she's going to go to church this morning. So let's just hope that everything works out, that the devil doesn't get in the way, that Melinda makes it to church, and that everything from there will work out fine. Some prayer requests we have for Cheryl Ann. She needs prayer for her health. She's gone through some serious heart procedures and problems that the doctors caused. She's now in physical therapy and at home, but she's getting the treatment she needs. She's had to learn how to eat, how to walk. She's even had so much as to learn how to actually speak, folks. It wasn't easy for her. From what I understand, she's gone through a lot. So please pray for her. And then Mike Luzzi, or Luzzi, has an infection. From what I understand, as of today, they found out it's something to do with his prostate. And Katie Foster was hospitalized with some heart issues. Please pray for her as well. They're working that out. I'm not sure. I hear it might be COPD. There's some problems with her lungs and whatever, and it's mostly a lot of stress that's causing most of this, so probably more of an anxiety and stress issue. But please pray for her and help her to get better and get well and get back to where she needs to be normally, back to work. Same with Mike. Jim Bailey, I'm asking for prayer for Jim. He posted a thing that this past week that his heart was getting weaker, that he went from 35% down to 31% in the pumping order, I guess is how they put it, but his heart wasn't pumping well, so he went from 35% use of his heart to 31%. Big Ed, a friend of mine down in Connecticut, he's asking for prayers for a friend of his. Candace Kay's brother still going through some tough times, so please pray for him. Cammy Coates, her granddaughter was in the hospital. I haven't heard what's going on there yet. Let's just hope everything's working out well. Christy, a sister in Christ, needs a spiritual awakening from backsliding. That was sent to me by a friend named Lori. Could you please pray for Lovis Noy's friend also, Sheila? She's lost her son, and it's her sister, Sheila's sister, and she's been in the hospital with a heart attack. From what I understand, she's doing a lot better today. And Pastor Robbie's still dealing with that bad infection in his finger. And Lovis asked for a friend named Sylvia Richards. She fell and broke her hip, and she's still not doing well. Sandy Washer's still dealing with that cough from that cold that she has. It hasn't gone away. She said she's finally been able to get some sleep because of the change in weather, but she's still hacking and coughing this morning. So please pray for Sandy as she goes off and goes about her church studies today. Pray for our friend Joseph Gray, a veteran who's going through some tough times health-wise. The man is elderly. He's been in the military. The VA hasn't taken care of him properly. Mark Warren, same thing. Mark Warren's not doing well. Another veteran sick at home. Just doesn't want to be wasting his time with the Veterans Hospital. Veterans Hospital is not taking care of our veterans, folks. He's looking forward to being able to go see a regular doctor soon so he can get the proper treatment that he needs. So please pray for Mark and Joseph as well. There's so many others, folks, we could pray for, but I would take up the whole message time to do that. So I'm asking you, please pray for our friends and our families. Pray for my children, my son and his wife who are down in Connecticut and traveling. They should be coming back. They're down there because his mom and Mike are still in the hospital. He would have probably come home already by now. But please pray for Robert and Aaron and the boys. But thank you, Lord, for letting us have this opportunity. Just help us to understand that we need to pray for all of our sick ones, our families that are not doing well, those that are saved, that have maybe backslidden. Pray for those that are ill, the ones that are having a problem, Lord, with your word, that they would just read more often, that they would study more often, that they would find a way to be in the word, whether they understand it or not, and just let you send the Holy Spirit to work through their heart, knowing that they want to do what's right, that they're not neglecting you, that it's not intentional, that they're having a difficult time with the understanding of your word. I had a couple people this week tell me so I'm asking for prayer for them. But pray for our ministers, our preachers, and our pastors, because we try to share the gospel, we try to get it out there, Lord. We just ask that you would build us up and hold us up and help us continue to share the gospel. Thank you, Father, for all that you provide for us. Oh, one other prayer, folks. Please remember all those that went through the fires out there out Midwest. That's a tragedy. It's wiped out a lot of land and some houses, and now there's people I'm hearing that have died, and there's some other issues that have gone on. So please just remember them in prayer this week. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. One last prayer. I want to ask you for prayer for my wife, for her mother, that they would find a home for her, and soon, because she has to be out of her house, her apartment, by August. So please pray for my mother-in-law that they find a way to get her out of there and get her into a good facility where she can be cared for properly. Thank you for listening to prayers. This morning, we're going to turn to Romans 8. And like I said, folks, I just try to get the gospel to you. It's just me sharing the words from the scriptures. I would hope that you're taking these notes of what scriptures I'm using by chapter and verse, and that you're spending the time later and trying to read it and understand it and let the Holy Spirit guide you, not me. Don't always listen to my parts of it, but the issue here, folks, is that you would hear it, you would understand it by God giving you the strength, not by me. I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times. I'm just a man. If you always follow everything I teach you, that would be like following a cult. I'm trying to share God's word with you so that you would see and be inspired by the Holy Spirit to understand what he's trying to teach you. So here's our message this morning, folks. In chapter 8 of Romans, if we go over to verse 5, the heading above in my book, and I have a study Bible, so the heading in my book says, conflict of the spirit with the old nature. The old nature being our flesh, right? The things that we desire, the things that we used to do, that we no longer do, that we fight against, because in the Bible it does say that the flesh shall fight against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Now, for they, verse 5, that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. In other words, they mind the things of the spirit. Now, our spirit, depending on what spirit we're in. If we're in the spirit of the flesh, right? And I put those two together only for one purpose so that you would understand this. If you're serving the flesh, you're serving the spirit of a false god. You're serving Satan. You're not serving the spirit of God. That's why it in the Bible here, it has it separated, flesh and spirit. If you're serving the flesh, you're serving Satan. If you're serving the spirit, you're serving the Lord, the spirit of the Lord. Okay? So, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, if you're serving the Lord, you'd have peace in your heart. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or against God, right? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, the flesh and the carnal mind, neither one of them will ever serve God. Too busy serving themselves. They're too busy doing the work of the devil. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're in the flesh, you can't please him. But ye are not, meaning we as Christians, those that read the scriptures, those that want to understand the Lord, you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit, or you wouldn't seek the spirit. Okay? I'm telling you this, you would not seek the spirit. Here it says, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, this is in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, which is the spirit of seeking the Lord, seeking the truth, seeking righteousness, seeking to do right and not wrong. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the spirit of trying to seek out and to know God better and to know Jesus Christ and to follow Jesus Christ, you aren't even of Jesus Christ. What that makes you of? Makes you of something else. My personal opinion, makes you of the devil. You're misguided, you're misled, and you're of the world, and you're fleshly, and your desires are fleshly, and your desires are all for what? They're for nothing, because guess what? You're not desiring to serve Christ, you're not desiring to be for Christ and do for Christ and follow Christ. You never get to heaven. So it's a waste of time, and where do you end up? In the ground, waiting to go to hell. Because the day of judgment, because every person dies once, that's the body. But they have the second death, which is the seat of judgment, the day that you're standing there in spirit before him, and he says, I don't know you, you're in the other line. Okay? And I'm paraphrasing that, but that's exactly where you're going to end up, in the other line. And then here, look down in verse 10, it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. When I say that, and I know what the Bible means by that now, the body is dead because of sin. We've sinned so much, our body's useless. This old body is useless to God. Because our body is the temple, and if it's really the temple of God, then we would do right by it, and we wouldn't commit the sins of the body, using our body to do these ungodly things, because God has no use for that. The only thing God has use of is your spirit, whether it be of a spirit that serves him, or if you are of the flesh. And if you're of flesh, you're just flesh, you're a dead body. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see? The Spirit, being if we're doing right, if we're following that Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it's righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, you are either serving Satan or you serving Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you don't want to serve Satan. You don't desire to serve Satan. You do not desire to serve carnal things. You do not have desires that you used to have of fleshly desires. You turn against them. You start making decisions based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, saying, I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to live like I used to. I'm tired of that miserable, rotten life I've lived. I want to live healthy, happy, peacefully, and joyfully. Now, I'm going to go through something because this is the way I wanted to do the message this morning. I've got some notes written out, and I'll read them quickly. So just pay close attention. There's nothing in here that's scriptural. Or I shouldn't say, it's scriptural, but just not from scripture. We're not going to have to follow along. For me to be someone or something, for me to belong, it means to be part of, to follow the rules, the laws, and trust the person or an organization. If I'm part of, say, the Glee Club, I follow their rules. If I'm part of the political party, we'll just go there for sake of argument or whatever. If I'm part of the Republicans, I should be following the rules of the Republican Party. If I'm part of the Democrats, likewise. If I belong to a club, we'll say like the Garden Club or whatever, they have certain rules and policies and things, and we should follow those, right? Well, Jesus is the same way. He has rules, he has commandments, and he has policies, and he asks us to do that, and we're expected to do that as followers of Christ. It's like the commitment of marriage. Not everybody honors the marriage. In fact, if you look back, I'm not perfect. I didn't always follow the commitment that was given me in marriage, or I wouldn't have been divorced twice. What I did back when and what I do now are two different things. I live differently than I did before. Why? Because I now understand what it means. I may have to go without certain things. I may have to cave and give in, and I may have to do things I'm not used to doing. But I do that because my commitment is real. If my commitment to Jesus Christ is real, then I do the things that I'm supposed to as a Christian, doing what Christ asked me to do, not what the world asked me to do, or what my fleshly desires think I should do. You see, to belong to Jesus, to me, means to do all I can to give of myself in every aspect to be as one with him. Some days my flesh gets in the way. I know that it does for me, and I'm sure it does for every other Christian. But when we do realize we've made a mistake, we ask for forgiveness. And that doesn't mean you just go, oh, okay, I'll ask for forgiveness again and again and again and again over the same issue, because Christ starts going, well, what are you doing? How can I forgive you if you keep doing the same thing? Either you want to be forgiven, you want to stop, you want to repent from that, you want to turn from your wicked ways and do right. To have no other spouse as in marriage, to honor him in everything. That's what we are. We're supposed to be a spouse to Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be the only thing. Jesus is supposed to be the only thing in our life that means so much to us that we would do anything for him, because he died on the cross. He shed his blood for us. No human being I know of would stand in front of a firing squad, would go be hung from a noose in the gallows. No one would go lay themselves on a cross, have spikes driven through their hands and feet, hung up to die and to bleed, and then be spit on, poked, and prodded, and beaten, just so that he can die so that we can get to heaven. There's a reason I bring that up, folks. It's very malicious and mean to do anything wrong to someone and think you're doing right. You only do right when you do what's righteous. He asks us to follow him. He asks us to obey him. He asks us to serve him. What? As a servant, not as slaves or robots, as something. Some think that we don't even enjoy our life because we're Christians and we're always trying to do what the Lord tells us to do and we have no fun in life, and that's not true. We decide what is fun and what could be dangerous later and what could be costly and the penalties that come with it. Jesus would be our Lord, Master, Lover, Boss, Ruler. He's our everything. He commands us to follow him. He said, pick up your bed and follow me. He is not a mean Lord. He's a loving Lord, giving us free rein to serve him. If we don't, he doesn't hate us and throw us away. He's always willing to accept us back, just like the prodigal son. But we get accepted back into his family as a whole when we turn from our past, when we turn from our ways, when we turn from our flesh, when we start serving righteously as a spirit to Jesus Christ. So you see, belonging to the Lord to me means nothing is ever as important as Jesus, nor is anything more pleasing than serving him. Jesus is so much more to me today than he has ever been in my entire life. Jesus is all joy, happiness, and peace to me. Now let's look at these scriptures, folks. If we go look right now, before I go there, what does it mean to glorify? Glorify means this. It means to praise and worship. It means to admire. It means to represent. It means to describe them, especially in a justifiable manner. We should not be doing it unjustly or unjustifiably. 1 Corinthians 3:21, we're going to go there. I'm going to read through these scriptures, folks, and I'm hoping I can get through them all, all right? We're going to try and do all I can to get through them. 1 Corinthians 3, I had it saved over on the computer, but I'm going to do it by book, okay? 3:21 says this of 1 Corinthians, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Nothing is held back from us when we do what Jesus asks us to do. Okay? Now, if we're in Christ, then everything that's Christ is ours. And according to Scripture, everything is Christ because God gave it to him. Now, if you look at 23, it says, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. You see? Right there, it says that it's ours. It's ours to have. Now, I want to go over to chapter 6. Chapter 6 of same book, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. And it says this, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God, worship him in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You can't worship him if you're worshiping yourself. You can't worship him if you're serving yourself. Now let's look at chapter 7, 22 through 23, and it says this. Verse 22 of chapter 20 of 7 of 1 Corinthians, it says, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. In other words, don't be going around making men happy when you should be making the Lord happy. Let's look at 15:22 through 23. Same book, same principle. 22 through 23, it says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. You see, there's going to come a time at the end times where Christ comes to call his people home. He calls the bodies of those that are believers back to heaven. When we die, our spirit goes up to heaven. We may not have a body. We may be getting a new body when we get there. The body that's in the ground, the one that died first, it says here, it says, listen, you're the seed of Abraham. It says he will call you home at his coming. So in other words, we may be waiting to be called home. For me, as far as I'm concerned, I'm saved. I've asked for Christ to be my Savior. I'm saved. My spirit will go home. Now let's look at Galatians. We're going to go over to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. Chapter 3:29 says this, And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Well, I'm as far as I'm concerned, and if you are as well, if you're saved, you're already accepted as an heir to the throne. You're an heir to everything that God offers you. Now, chapter 5, verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. In other words, our affections and our lusts, we no longer have. The only affections we have and the lusts that we have, our lust is to serve Christ. Our affections are to love just like as Christ did, and to do what Christ asked us to do. Now, it may hurt some people when we point out the truth, and we may appear that we're being mean, but if we're sharing the gospel and it's the right scriptures and we're doing it with the right spirit, then even those affections that are felt won't be so impacted by what we're saying. What they'll be is they'll be accepted with compassion and understanding. Now, some may not get that. Now, they may have to go look it up. But, you know, the spirit that we have is a spirit that would show Jesus Christ in us. Now, I know some days it's hard to understand things, folks, but if you just continue to let the Holy Spirit work in you, let Jesus be the guide. Don't be the guide. Don't try to push the issue. By sharing these, I hope you have a better understanding. I've tried to share the scriptures. I've tried to get you to understand. Now I'm asking you. I give you those scriptures. I ask you to go back and look them up. Go look up Romans. Go look up 1 Corinthians. And go look up Galatians. And read them for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. And you'll see why I said what I said and what's in scripture. Not that I'm telling you this. This is God speaking for you if you read those scriptures. Not me. He's speaking to you, rather, not for you. Now, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, brings them to Jesus. Jesus directs them to the Father. The Father then grants them as long as they're of his will, not ours. By sharing these, like I said, I hope you get a better understanding. Please read them for yourself. In your own time, when you're at peace, when you can sit there and meditate on the scriptures, and read them slow, folks. Read them real slow and you'll understand them. Jesus is so much more to me today because I took the time to read the scriptures to try to understand. Thank you for letting me get this message out to you, and God bless you, and please remember those in prayer. And I have one more song for you before we close out, and I will try to get back here, folks, before the song is up, but if I can't, well, I can't. But this is Jesus, Lover of My Soul, about 2 minutes or so long. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Come find me over on William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook. Thank you again. God bless you and have a great day.